The story you're about to listen to is a short narration from the book Those Naughty Vibes, read by Ludovic Romney. Whose view of a magnificent starlit night describes any better its glory than yourself? Imagine then a large picture with the star glitter of dawn, rays of green and gold hint at the sun approaching. Trickling from an escarpment at the top right corner, a gentle stream meanders to the middle foreground where a tree stands. In its trunk branches, two figures are looking cosily laid back. Wings adorn their elven-shaped bodies, the difference being their cleft-shaped ears identifying them as music fairies. As different and strange, pleasant music vibes waft around with their own senses of adventure. They seem to move, and won't stay still as one looks at them. One could say, they are naughty vibes. It almost makes you want to pinch a feather and tickle the nose of one of those snoozeball fairies for a response. These are no ordinary music fairies looking so romantic and all. There's a harmony, yes. If one were to understand the sheer awesomeness of this lover's dream. No doubt the picture and its story would reveal some magic for all its beauty. Mind you, some pictures, even as wonderful as this, can really only be told like the story tells, especially with them waking up in the hollow crook of this broad-limbed tree, its location, that and their being tree lovers. Perhaps it's better not to say too much of those dreams' peculiar branching moments, only that, whew, what a delicious dream, and blow it's breaking right in the middle of something so very important, at the very pinnacle of bliss. Nice. Fuzzbin. That's the trouble when I think when I shouldn't think. Relax, he said. Thinking about it just made it go away. But then there was something else he remembered. A screaming. Wahoo! His scream of delight, just as the vibes race right through the core of his body and soul. That was either just before our together snoozeball, or when Tessa and I were, well, His eyes opened sharply, remembering for a brief moment, and then closed again. Spooned against Tessa and feeling safe, he gauged where they had decided to rest after their fantastic but long wedding day. They were talking, that's right. The subject was to plant a rare tree together, and they were discussing its dynamics when a sudden tiredness overcame them, and suddenly, whoosh! Usually this only happened when he was travelling certain G-forces on blast trips with Fairwind, his true friend, master and tutor. Lovers. Yes, these two gorgeous music fairies are on their honeymoon. Tessa finds herself waking up amid flutters of an equally romantic dream. Buzz off, she mumbled, swatting something. Perhaps invisible vibes, she sensed, were somehow annoying her. Rolling over, she faced Freckles. Yummy, expressed the sensations her dreams couldn't find words for. It had all felt so heavenly, dreamy, and floating. Suddenly a wooden sensation, hard and fertile with life, brought her reality crashing to the fore. Her eyes opened to see her hand in Freckles, and the other holding firmly a branch of the tree they lay in. The two fairies looked at each other, a little surprised. A gentle tree swaying had increased with some intimate sharp rocks, as though a whipping wind had passed by, raising them from their dreams. Freckles became aware now of a stringy bark texture against his back, and close by wafted the ooze of a familiar scent. It was familiar, but different and strange. Another sweet scent, present in his attention, finds him in a hammock, swinging from a gum tree with his lovely, just outside Illuminator Cave. Mysteriously, somehow they'd ended up in another place. It was all becoming so very confusing. Even now drifting into his nostrils, ambrosia came scintillatingly, creeping into the very fibres of his body, and now, before his eyes fully opened, Freckles understood. He knew the relationship with him in this tree went back a long way. This could only mean they had been transported to heaven. Grobdirk, my woody friend, the sweetest old maple tree there is. Hooty, 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 Grobdirk chuffed away. Yes, it's me, sweetest maybe. Just go easy on the old bit, will you, master adventurer? And how nice it is to see you again, Tessa Vibeseeker. Indeed, how lovely for sweet romances. Oh, yes. Hey, I've a message for you two lovebirds. Your two friends only left you here a short while ago. Those two. Now, there's an old story, the Lord's Fairwind and Sonata. They have advised me there is to be a wedding and that you're expected to arrive. Many heartbeats and a typically wooden silence followed before Grobdirk continued, saying, Being roots and branches, I don't get to go far, but I do get to know a lot of what goes on first hand. In particular, your wonderful romance nearly started within my very bows. No offence meant, happy Fairylanders. You're like my very own. What's more, nothing so sweet like you two ever happens around here. I do warn you, though, it's in my genes, too. Right through my boughs and leaves, and eventually, well, nature spreads nature. Hootie, hootie, hootie. Another quiet spell limbered on, as if he was catching his breath. It does appear that you have increased your skills in flute playing, Master Bright. I do happen to be acquainted with the woodwork of a certain instrument. The magic flute popped its head up from behind Freckles' cloak, with a cheeky grin. Freckles made sure the flute was safely in place, and as usual, when he did, flute tones piped, Game's up! Grobdirk laughed jovially, the kind of laugh that hinted that he might know something more about the flute's real nature. From root, core to leaves, he could feel it in the air, the vibe. Yes, it was something very new and fresh, different to heaven's icing. Anxious for a jolly good tale of some type, he felt he needed to ask. Now I realise you're in a hurry, but do you have something to share of certain adventures before you buzz off to the wedding and wherever? Freckles twigged immediately, pinching himself mentally for acting thoughtless. There was so much he could say, he realised. Like, for instance, he thought, perhaps the sky is different blue to the sky on earth. And it occurred to him now that somehow the niceness of heaven had changed for him. Gosh, Fuzzman! Better not say that just yet, he said. I'd better think of something good to give him. But what's good? Very many times he had leaned up against Grobdirk's splendid trunk to meditate. Recent times he had shared here while courting with his beloved Tessa. In this, and all between the gobbledygook and giggles, he knew the wise old tree held much in confidence for their early sweetheart adventures, and they both felt beholden to him. It was a bonus after all having his flute in possession. It had masterfully recorded several vibes discovered on their latest adventure. Knowing he was apt to be a little impulsive, with Tessa now beside him, he took a moment to advise her of his planned intention. Aware of their giggling before a small but pert silence, Grobdirk's leaves bristled with anticipation. They had decided to keep one of the vibes, as Freckles said, I do have a couple of vibes you might be interested in. Sorry, we didn't mean to be rude, but we're not sure the first one is very heavenly. But here it is. He waited 2 seconds for a good effect. Munted! And it comes in many different forms. Ooh, that's different. Ah, yes, that's why there's a heaven. Ooh. And the second one, please, he said as his leaves tittered. Tessa moved forward, also holding her voice to a whisper. Oh dear, Grobdirk, I don't know how to say this, but I think there could be another heaven, and it's called Earth. Hootie hootie, that's lovely. Oh, how interesting, thank you both so much. 2 things of merit came to Grobdirk, being that he hadn't heard of another view of heaven, particularly one called Earth. He relished the Earth sound and enjoyed its deep and wonderful pithy tone. Then his focus shifted to consider and reflect more on the first, and he said, drawing another long breath, Shiver me timbers! I believe I need to ponder even more, good friends. As it occurs to me, can heaven help all the munted? Oh, and another thing, dear Tessa, I believe it's quite right that heaven is as we make it, and indeed it can be as here, or elsewhere. Gosh, I'd better not hold you up any more. Oh, and I do wish you happiness for your wedding day. The blushing love between the young couple, particularly now, was very evident to the wise old tree. Freckles somehow knew it, as in the next instant he planted a gobsmacker of a kiss on Grobdirt's main trunk. Then his thoughts meandered for a moment, goodbye, farewell, wasn't something that he'd ever thought to say in heaven. Not for real, anyway. Nobody ever left heaven, except he was and his Tessa. Life was calling to them and their companions on Earth. They just had to deal with this wedding stuff, meeting with the council, and then be off. Till next time, then, Grodberg, and thank you for your kindness and hospitality. No problem, good buddy. Come again. Eventually, I would like to hear all this about the wedding, if I may. Flying out of his branches, they alighted next to the Saint-It-Seems River, which could show them the way to Heaven's Halls, if taking their time. But take their time they would not. Tessa blew the Grand Maple a kiss as they turned to leave. Hooty hooty, you shall be rewarded, both of you, Grodberg said. His affection for the music fairy stemmed from several reasons. In particular, he loved their marvellous flying ability and their incredible inbuilt gifts, allowing them to locate vibes in uncanny ways. Vibes that naturally came their way seldom floated in his direction, but for this he appreciated dearly their romantic stories and more than occasional presence. Some gifts came as new vibe on nature's wind, as did Freckles' kiss messages. The most recent given to Grodberg had turned golden. The music fairy's own evolution had become a first among his kind. But also right now, Grodberg knew another special evolution was happening. The essences of Tessa's kisses were silver. Grodberg realized now how blessed he was to have lent a solid part in this unfolding romantic adventure. Digesting her kiss just a little more, he could tell from his leaf's nature there was something very new in the potency. Her tenderness spread far and beyond its virtue alone. With her new talents and gifts emerging, he considered more. Could there indeed be yet another candidate? And why shouldn't there be, he thought, though he knew he'd be batting for Freckles. But he knew also that he was forbidden to say anything to anyone else about Freckles' possible horizons, and the same must be for anyone else. Tessa realized the wise old tree may think kindly of her in the balance of things and her love for Freckles. That she'd sought him out and returned together said much. Realizing how it was for Freckles to explain his adventures to her, the fine dark hairs of Tessa's own antennae were raised. Her actions in part had caused a great following of fairies and animals. Not that she had done anything wrong. It was more to the point that she had pulled off what she did. Who would have believed Tessa and Freckles could really create a portal of love channeling to some far-off destination? Word was needed by some, assuredly, by the multitude of followers. Gone with her to the new heaven.